Welcome to Sustainability Circle. We're coming to you from Simon Fraser University. We'd like to acknowledge that this podcast is being produced on unceded territory of the Musqueam, Kwikwetlem, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh peoples. This is Tegan, and I'm here with
Navreet.
And we are in the CJSF studio and talking to you today again about all things sustainability.
On this week's topic, we have zero waste. Now, to give you a little background on what zero waste is, the Zero Waste International Alliance defines it as zero waste is a goal that is ethical, economical, efficient, and visionary to guide people in changing their lifestyles and practices to eliminate sustainable cycles where all discarded materials are designed to become resources for others to use.
Zero waste means designing and managing products and processes to systematically avoid and eliminate the volume and toxicity of waste and materials, conserve and recover all resources, and not burn or bury them. Implementing zero waste will eliminate all discharges to land, water, or air that are a threat to planetary, human, animal, or plant health.
In summary, zero waste is a philosophy that encourages to expand the life cycles of resources so that they're constantly being reused. Zero waste rejects what is called a cradle-to-grave model, which is seen as a linear cycle in which resources start from extractions to production to product manufacturing ends up in a metaphorically speaking grave in which the resource ends up in the landfill.
Zero waste proposes a new model of resource management, which is cradle to cradle. This model is a closed loop cycle in which it focuses on redesigning industrial systems so that materials flow in closed loop cycles, which means that waste is minimized and waste products can be recycled and reused. This model is considered to be the most sustainable and considerate of life and future generations. If that was a little wordy for you, there's a great video called The Story of Stuff that's up on YouTube. We can provide a link, and that gives what we just explained in a nice little visual. And now we're going to bring in our guest for the day and talk to her about all things sustainability and zero waste.
Joining us today is one of the co-founders of the Soap Dispensary and Kitchen Staples, Lynn Truong. The Soap Dispensary opened up the first soap refill store in 2011 on Main Street, and in 2017 added groceries to their roster, making them the first zero-waste grocery store in BC. When the store first opened up, they primarily sold cleaning products in bulk and beauty products. Now they have expanded to different groceries, such as tofu, tortilla chips, and soy sauce.
All right, welcome to our podcast, Lynn.
Thank you so much for having me.
We're really excited to have you here and talk about your store and just different kind of sectors of sustainability. So just to start off, if you wouldn't mind telling us what inspired you to open up the soap dispensary.
It was really selfishly motivated. I lived in Victoria for a number of years, and I used to shop, or I should say refill, at a business there that has been around for now for over probably about 25 years.
Wow.
And they were a soap refill store, and I was their customer. And when I moved to Vancouver in 2009, I was looking for a place to refill soaps here. And I was super disappointed that Vancouver, which is reputable for being green and
hippie.
And much bigger, didn't actually have a store like the little one that we had in Victoria. And so at first I would go back to Victoria with my empty containers and refill there when I was visiting friends or camping or whatever. But of course that wasn't very sustainable. You run out of dish soap and you can't just run to Victoria. So I started to think that Vancouver needed one. And so since no one else was going to do it, I decided to do it.
That's awesome.
Well, with that astronomical ferry fee, it isn't very sustainable to go running back in Victoria just for soap.
Oh, no.
I guess my question is, do you face any unique challenges running your business as with as minimal waste as possible?
Totally. We are limited by what we can bring in because of our our unique mandate to bring in bulk. Mm-hmm. So there are lots of great brands out there that we can't carry because they don't make them in large enough size that we could refill from. They come in little retail package size. And so it's an interesting problem that gets us to be more creative. And it also leads us towards working with other small companies. And lots of local small companies are much more responsive to doing bulk. They're more agile. And they're also, because they live in this community, they care about this community. Mm-hmm. And so they're very on board with doing bulk and refilling.
I'm just sort of thinking how you have this big corporate giant like Costco, who also follows on like a bulk sort of, I guess, principle. And they use multiple packaging. But like in terms of bulk, how would you do the pricing? Like, how would you decide on the pricing?
Well, I think there should first be a distinction. Bulk is a very broad mm-hmm. term, and to a lot of people, bulk means larger quantity. But we're also looking at larger quantity without packaging. So that's a distinction between us and a big store like Costco, who brings in a lot of bulk stuff, mm-hmm. but it's all heavily packaged. In terms of bulk pricing, it's a very complex process, because we first of all have to make the refill more affordable than mm-hmm. buying it pre-packaged. This will incentivize people to reuse their packaging. But we're also working with really high quality products. We carry a lot of organic, we carry a lot of local. And when it's local and they're small businesses, they're doing small batch production. So they can't compete with Johnson & Johnson with massive manufacturing facilities all over the world. So it's like buying organics, you know, it's gonna cost more than the conventional soap or the conventional grain, but there's a lot of hidden costs to those conventional products that people don't think about. So I guess we're cheaper if you're refilling the same product, but if you're going to compare, say, a high-end natural brand to a generic, you know, Sunlight brand, mm-hmm. then we would be more expensive because the ingredients cost more and all the other factors are in there.
Mm-hmm. I find that a lot of young people are more interested in this movement, and I see whenever I've been in the soap dispenser, I see a lot of young people who also don't usually have large budgets. Do you have people talking to you trying to figure out lower prices, or do you find people kind of adopt it because they are believing in the movement and they want to be a part of the kind of minimal packaging, minimal plastic kind of lifestyle?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Yeah, it's tricky. We do have young people who come and they refill just the things they feel they could afford. And I think a lot of people do that, not just young people, but people with families and kids. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're also on a budget. So they sort of pick and choose what they feel is, you know, maybe they can't get packaging free. They'll come to our store, maybe what they can get that's non-organic or bulk elsewhere, they might kind of do a blend, you know? Mm-hmm. But we always try to bring in, especially with groceries right now, everybody has to eat, and so much packaging comes with food. So we're trying to bring in sort of like a high-end and a low-end price point for a lot of our products that seems like people need a lower price point. So, for example, we refill East Van Jam. And East Van Jam is low sugar, local fruit, often organic, no pectin. So very small batch, really delicious, high quality jam. Mm-hmm. And it's pricey because of that. And so recently we brought in Crofters, organic jam, which is mass produced, has more sugar, but it's still real fruit and organic. Mm-hmm. But the price point is half of East Van Jam, and that's that's one way we can sort of satisfy and get, you know, a broader range of economic backgrounds to be able to refill.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
We do get a lot of listeners onto this show because it's streaming throughout not only SFU, but through the community. How would a small business approach you and get their zero waste product into your market?
Oh, yeah, that's interesting. Typically, you mean like as a producer of products?
Yeah.
Typically, we love for people to email us, and if they have a website, include their link, describe what they do, and then we research it.
Mm-hmm.
We get a lot of customers who recommend brands to us or recommend products to us, and we will research that as well. So if there's also a company that you think that's local that you think is great, let us know about it. Typically, we're so busy, it's difficult for us to like meet someone on the fly, on the spot, you know, if they just walk into our store with their product. So it's nice to reach out to us online, and then we set up appointments and so on.
How many of your retailers have you met like that, and how many have you kind of had to reach out to you yourself? Like, how has it changed as your business has grown and gained more attention?
Well, when I first opened, I had to go and knock on everyone else's door because they didn't know who we were, and they thought we were weird. but as time has gone on, we have had a lot of people approach us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been really fun to discover all these amazing companies here in Vancouver and across BC. We're so blessed with so many great eco brands, mm-hmm, in this province. There are still companies that we are chasing that won't do packaging free, and we're still trying to, you know, convince them or work with them. The tricky thing is like, sometimes we have too many products from, like, too many of a particular product with lots of companies doing it, like bar soaps. We have lots of bar soaps in our store, and we get lots of inquiries about selling bar soaps, and our shelves are limited. Mm-hmm. So, unfortunately, we can't accept everybody who reaches out to us.
Mm-hmm.
So part of our goal with this podcast is to open up conversation about different sectors of sustainability, and particularly community and social sustainability. So I'm wondering, how does the soap dispensary support that community sustainability pillar?
We know a lot about what's going on in the city, and we are sort of hearing about all these new initiatives that come up, and we try to promote them on our social media. So we try to support them in that way and get them exposure. We also have, we donate. Our donation policy is all geared towards environmental initiatives. So every year, we donate to certain organizations on their projects. We also have a bag donation fee program. So if you want a shopping bag or any bag from our store, we will charge you a fee for it, and that fee is put towards more environmental initiatives.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the recent plastic bag ban in Victoria?
So exciting. We're looking at you, Vancouver.
Mm-hmm. It seems to be Vancouver's dragging its feet. Do you have any kind of opinion on that, or what do you kind of see in the Vancouver local politics with sustainability and their Greenest City Action Plan?
I mean, they're going towards it. It seems like it. Like 2 years ago when they started that research to find out how much single-use garbage we're, mm-hmm, producing, and then they released it last summer. That was astounding that they...
And the numbers were horrifying. Did.
It was horrifying, exactly. So it seems like, hey, they're, you know, they're leading up to it. So right now they're in consultation, I think, and planning, and everything seems to lead towards those bans. I mean, it's sort of the logical conclusion, so I don't know what the barriers are. Perhaps Victoria is a smaller municipality, mm-hmm. So they can push things faster.
Yeah.
But it's we're 2 years away from the 2020, mm-hmm. and we still have a long way to go to being the greenest city in the world. So,
mm-hmm. I myself go to Victoria quite oftenly. I've noticed it's a smaller community for sure compared to Vancouver, because we're made up of like the tri-states and you have the suburbs like Surrey. But Victoria in itself is quite small, and they're very forward in terms of sustainability and thinking. You look at UVic, who has done a great job at starting these sustainability projects, and I think Vancouver needs to catch up for sure.
Yeah. Because we're behind.
No, it's because like every other city is pretty much looking at Vancouver right now. We're considered one of the major cities in Canada, and I feel like if Canada were to start something as small as getting rid of all plastic bags, mm-hmm. that make cities like Toronto, Edmonton, and Calgary catch on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you show that it can work here, then other places don't have a reason to say why they can't make it work in their big city.
Totally. I think we were probably one of the first cities to have citywide composting.
Yeah.
And that has been a very successful program. And now I think other cities are following suit. So, yeah, we should be the role model.
All right. So I was doing a little bit of stalking on your website, and I noticed that you have an online shop coming soon. Do you have anything that you can tell us about that, your plans for making that minimal waste? And because obviously online packages come with packaging and they need to be in that. So do you have any sort of sneak peek you can give us?
Well, that store was supposed to be open last year. We were going to open the store last year, and then suddenly we found out that we were able to expand our retail space next door. Mm-hmm. And because that had a much more urgent deadline, we had to put the online store on the back burner and open Kitchen Staples. So and so now Kitchen Staples is open, and we're kind of, the dust is kind of settling now, and so now we can go back and focus on opening our online store. And we initially thought the online store would be about selling lifestyle tools that help people live zero waste. We are also, we import a lot of unique things that are hard to find in Canada. Mm-hmm. And that was our initial focus. Things like wooden toothbrushes, specialty soaps that help with eczema, things that are, you just can't get, especially if you live in a small town in Saskatchewan or, you mm-hmm. know. We do ship across the country already. We have, since we opened, people usually email us, and we do this sort of email tag back and forth, and then we ship it out to people, and we always use recycled packaging, always in paper, even very minimal tape. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much
like the model that you're gonna.
It's really easy. I guess if it's an online store and like the bulk of your business is online, you would have to start buying packaging, but we've never had to buy shipping material because we get so many materials shipped to us that we save. We don't throw out anything we can reuse. So we hoard paper and small cardboard boxes, and we get packing peanuts from some of our suppliers, so we save what we can reuse, and then the rest we donate to UPS and other stores.
Oh, I didn't know that they would take donations like that. That's
they
really
do.
Cool.
Yeah. We donate to ceramicists and pottery artists that need packaging for their own shipping needs. So, yeah, there's definitely no need to do any
closed loop.
Yeah, closed loop, and there's really no need for plastic, anything mm-hmm. in when you ship out things. Like, I don't know, it's
Like, last week, I ordered, like, a few makeup products from this brand called ColourPop. It was, like, two lipsticks and one eyeshadow. And they gave me this enormous box for four products that you could have just wrapped in paper. And it was ridiculous because out of those four products, you have your styrofoam, your packing peanuts, and this one box.
Crazy. Yeah. Yeah, that's the norm. That seems like the norm when I've ordered things online. I actually try not to order things online. And I was really opposed to the idea of having an online store for a long time because people, it's like, you can't refill soap online, you know? Like, how do you do that? So we thought, okay, well, we can at least sell lifestyle tools that are hard to get. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
You know, I ordered some brush with bamboo toothbrushes. It was so expensive. I got it from the States. The duty that I had to pay when they came to my house, it was definitely discouraging for me to do it again. Mm. So I kind of thought, oh, I'll just order it from home and then I don't have to take the time to go out to a store. Like, I know they're at other places, but also at the soap dispensary. But it was a total fail. I was just like, I will definitely go to the store next time. Like, never ordering online again.
I just want to know how you live a zero waste life in your own life.
Yeah, well, is there any tips and tricks that you can offer to our listeners?
Okay. I think I wouldn't be saying anything different from any zero waste blogger. I think the first thing is be prepared. Have a reusable bag with you. Have your reusable cup. I recently posted a blog an Instagram post about how, you know, every day you kind of anticipate the weather. If it's going to rain, you're going to bring an umbrella with you. Do you anticipate having a cup of coffee that day? Well, if you do, then why not also have your mug with you? Mm-hmm. Like, it's just about being prepared. The few things that you really need is just a bag, a reusable bag, a cup. It can be used for water. It can be used for coffee. You could even put soup in there, you know, or a jar. However, whatever vessel you want to have. Utensil. Mm-hmm. If you use a straw, a reusable straw, a napkin, those things can easily be packed into a backpack, a purse, and you just have it. And then you're never caught without. So those things are really simple. But I feel like with living a zero waste lifestyle, so I took the master's recycling program last year, and one of the things I was asked to do was to do a waste audit of my home. For 1 week, I just collected every piece of garbage, every piece of recycling, every piece of compost, and then at the end of the week, I weighed it. And you could do it for 1 week, 2 weeks, a month, whatever. And then you sort of see before you what waste you're generating the most of, and that's where then you tackle. So for my household, my cat actually generates the most waste. and that's something, there's nothing I can do because she's elderly and she needs all of her medication, which all comes in plastic. But even then, I was really surprised. I had a lot of paper bags I would take from the grocery stores. If, you know, sometimes I would go and stop in at a grocery store without planning, and so I would take a paper bag for some grains or whatever, and I would try to reuse it, but then sometimes I would forget. And so, you know, seeing all the paper bags made me think, okay, I just need to be more prepared. And so I could sort of zone in on those areas that I was not doing as well on, and you don't sort of see it I guess doing that waste audit really makes it clear where you could work better at.
Yeah, that's so. An awesome idea.
I guess just this is one question out of curiosity. What's your favorite product that you offer at the soap dispensary?
Well,
without picking favorites.
This is going to be funny, but I had a life-changing, this product is life-changing to me. And last year, I bought a bidet sprayer.
Okay.
and this is a terrible example because it actually is one of the few things that comes into our store in a plastic packaging. And it's a terrible, like, it's a clamshell packaging even. Oh, but this is a good example of what my store is trying to do. So I recently posted every day 27,000 trees are chopped down worldwide to make toilet paper.
Oh my God.
That's over 9 million, almost 10 million trees a year that we chop down to make paper to wipe our buns. And what, you know, and then we throw it away. So I bought a bidet sprayer as a sample to before I carried it in my store. And it was life-changing. it is, I've never felt so clean. And I don't have to use paper anymore. You just use a reusable towel that you just use to dry yourself. And we also use the spray to hose down the dirty things in the bathroom, like our litter box. When we would need to clean it, we hose it down. My husband went hiking, muddy boots. He hosed it into the toilet. So it's a very practical tool. Parents with cloth diapers can use that to rinse their cloth diapers in. But the thing that I love is that it's helping me divert a lot of paper waste. And it will last for many, many years. So I felt like that's when the benefit outweighs the packaging, and it was worth bringing it in. Access is very important to my store. And I won't blindly just not bring in anything that's packaged if they have other amazing benefits. So I've just, it's like my new religion. I talk about the bidet sprayer all the time because I think everybody should use one. It's more hygienic and better probably for your health. Well, I don't know about that, but much more hygienic for sure. And so much better for the environment when you think about all the trees.
So we pretty much went over how our guests can be sustainable in terms of zero waste through their day-to-day life.
I think that is all of our questions for you. Maybe do you just want to let our listeners know where they can find you and what your store hours are and your kind of social media handles?
Sure, yeah. So we are at 3718 Main Street. Our crossroad is 21st Avenue. We're open 10 to 6 daily, every single day, except we are closed all stat holidays unless it falls on the weekend. And our Twitter is, I think our Twitter is Soap Dispensary. I think it's basically Soap Dispensary or The Soap Dispensary for Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.
We'll just add that to our little blurb for this episode.
Yeah, so our listeners can access that. So thank you so much for talking about us. I think all of us have learned a little bit more about zero waste today and gotten to know you and your store better. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much for coming on and taking out time out of your day.
Thank you. Thank you. It was really fun.
Okay, Lynn just left the studio, and that was awesome. She totally inspired me with all of her kind of zero waste, minimal waste knowledge and just the way that she runs her business. What did you think, Navri?
I appreciate how, like, real and funny she was. I guess the biggest fear I have for this podcast in general is, like, guests rehearsing their answers. And she came off so naturally that it was fun to have a conversation with her. Like, I didn't feel like I was talking to a microphone. I felt like I was talking to an actual friend and getting to know more.
I totally agree. And I especially really appreciated how she talked about with sustainability, you can't be perfect. You can't say, I am zero waste and I'm never going to use packaging, because especially with her bidet example, she decided to buy the bidets, put them in her store. They're totally plastic packaged and not looking to be eco at all in that way, but you're saving tons of trees, and the numbers that she pulled out were crazy. And I think that often, especially with the kind of blogging and Instagram and all of that kind of thing about zero waste and sustainability, that it can kind of get caught up too much in this is my trash jar. If you guys haven't heard about that before, a lot of zero waste bloggers will talk about how whatever trash that they might end up producing accidentally, like stickers on fruit, or maybe they asked for no straw but the waiter still gave it to them anyways, they put it in a jar to kind of show off that this is a way to create such minimal waste. But Lynn couldn't do that because she still used plastic packaging, but she did it in a way that was making her life more sustainable. So I think not following rules and kind of being intuitive was something really awesome.
I think that's what all of these lifestyles are about, like going vegan or going zero waste. I feel like people shouldn't criticize themselves if they catch themselves eating something or doing something that doesn't align with a certain lifestyle. And that, I know for a fact, throws a lot of people off and they don't want to go back into that lifestyle because they made that one error.
I know. I feel like people think they're living on a reality TV show and everybody's judging them for everything that they do. But I think sustainability, as we're starting to learn with this podcast especially, is it's a process and there's no right and wrong answer and there's just kind of different ways that work for everyone. And maybe the bidet is just not going to be possible for other people, but they can do different things towards sustainability. Little packaging, like you mentioned, like eating less meat and dairy, and just it works different for everyone. So I think that the way that we're talking to different people and showcasing different initiatives kind of allows people to decide what works best for them.
I guess another big thing is not to jump right into it. Don't go cold turkey. Take small steps so you can refrain yourself from like such errors.
I liked her trash audit that she talked about. I think that was awesome. I think that's something that I would try myself just to kind of see, where do I make the most waste? Do I eat like tons of mini packaged like fishy crackers or chips or things like that? Like, where can I reduce my waste in the best way to make a big impact? Because if you're like, oh well, I'm just not gonna get any coffee cups, but maybe you buy coffee on the go like once every couple of weeks, like it's not going to be that much of an impact. So you got to really hone in on where you can make a difference.
I guess we should challenge our listeners to that.
I think we should.
To do a trash audit, tell us how much trash you consume throughout the day and tell us how you can make that change and just let us know on our social media.
I know. And another thing, one of my friends did that as well. And she found that it was going to be too difficult to pile it up. So what she did was she took a picture of what she was throwing in the trash so that she could just audit through that way. Because I personally don't know how jazzed I would be to start honing up all of my trash in my bedroom over the week, especially organics. All right. Well, I guess that brings us to the end. Thank you so much for listening and learning a little bit more about sustainability with us today. Once again, we are Navreet and Tegan from the Sustainability Circle, and we would like to thank Lynn again for contributing her time to come on the podcast and talk to us.
A big thank you to CJSF for opening up their space to us and allowing us to produce this fantastic podcast. Make sure to listen in next week to continue talking with us about all things sustainability.
As well, don't forget to subscribe and follow us on Embark Sustain on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, and check out our website at www.embarksustainability.org. Have a beautiful day.